Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another prospect interview here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I'm Stephen Gillespie of the Draft Sicko Show, and I have a big-time prospect that I'm interviewing today. You might know him. He stands at around 7'5", somewhere around 240 pounds from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jamarian Sharp. Jamarian, how we doing, man?
We're doing pretty good, honestly. You know, living life.
Living life. I mean, So right now you're in the middle of a transition, and we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. But how's life for you, man? Like, it's got to be an interesting, like, change of pace. Like, you spent a few seasons playing college basketball, and now you're focusing on your future. I mean, what's this feeling like for you right now?
Honestly, like, it's a mixed feeling of happiness, and I know it's not a word, but nervousness. Because, like, I'm happy that on the way to reaching my goal, but I'm a little bit nervous because, like, it's a big step in my life, like a huge step. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for sure. I mean,
then on top of that, it's like I'm familiar with it, but I'm not familiar with it. But yeah,
it's like it's still basketball, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just
like a different type of basketball.
Like, how could you explain that? Because I haven't really asked this question to very many prospects, but like you're saying it's a different type of basketball. What do you mean by that?
All right, so like in college, you know, you have people that stays on top of you and stuff like that. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Make sure you're working out and this and that. But with this level of basketball, like, it's really a job. Like, it's literally a job. Like, you're not going to have anyone to tell you what to do, that you have to be here. You have to be there on time. You have to be there and do what you're supposed to do like it.
Mm. And I'm sure that a lot of people would struggle with something like that. But based on what I've been able to, like, read, hear, from you, I know that this is just business as usual, man, but let's go ahead and dive into this interview because I got a bunch of questions and I know that our listeners are going to be very interested in a few of these answers. But first off, man, let's just start basic. What got you into basketball? Why are you preparing yourself now for professional level basketball? How did you get started?
I got started at a very young age by my mom. Like, you know, she mainly because my older brother, he played basketball, so I guess he wanted me to fall into the tradition of it. So I've been playing since I was a little kid, and honestly, like, I've been playing for her ever since then. I've been playing for myself, but I must have been playing for her because she's the one who introduced me to it. She's the one who helped me start to understand and learn the game.
Okay, right on. So, I mean, obviously, I'm going to ask, like, a very routine question I'm sure you get asked all the time, but have you always been big in basketball at any level, at every level that you've played?
Not well for a kid, yes, because I was pretty tall for a kid, and so, like, you know, I've always been a five my whole life, and so around middle school, I was like same height as everybody, but just a little bit taller. But then I came back my freshman year to high school, and I'm like 3-4 inches taller than everybody. I'm like, bro, like what?
that's crazy, because I mean, we hear about all these like late growth spurt guys, but you're not necessarily a late growth spurt, but you're a constant growth spurt.
I'm a constant growth spurt. Honestly, I didn't stop growing until I actually got to college.
Until you got to college, that's crazy, because you had a pretty good basketball career, like going up into college, and you ended up going to play first for John A. Logan College, where you were all conference, all region. You helped the school to his first ever season, which it finished undefeated in conference play. That's major, man. By the time you finished your second season there, you were considered the top junior college player in all the nation. So can you talk to us a little bit about, I love asking, I've spoke to a very, a lot of players who started off in the junior college route. You know, Michael Ajayi was one that I talked to this year. And I just think it's fascinating, man, to hear about, because I think that there's like a certain connotation or perspective with junior college level. What was your experience like?
See, me personally, like, I've had an amazing junior college experience. Like, I've heard other people talk about, like, no, I don't want to go to junior college. It's not good. It's not this and that. But my time there, I had fun. You know, I made friends. I made relationships. I had a great basketball career. Like, honestly, like, me personally, when, like, high schoolers, like, mention JUCO, I tell them, like, honestly, JUCO is really not that bad. It's not. And if we're being honest, like, JUCO would be a good start, especially for a freshman. Like, someone coming out of high school would be a good start because JUCO would help you teach the basics. Because instead of, like, just going from high school to a major D1 where there's a chance, like, that you won't be able to play, you'll probably be sitting on the bench. At JUCO, there's a bigger chance that you're going to play and develop your skills even more.
So I've heard that, too, where, like, it's a good place to develop your skills, but there's also, like, a larger studio space, so to speak, to where you can, like, grow into a role that you kind of want. And it's like it's a starting point to do that and put that skill on display to where you're going to end up with these colleges anyway that mm-hmm. are going to be interested in you, and you're going to grow up into that role. And that's what it looked like for you. I mean, again, your time at John A. Logan was crazy. And by the time that you had finished there, what was that like getting re-recruited for junior college? Was it, like, say, busier? I think it was probably busier for you than it was your high school time, right?
Yeah. So, like, coming out of high school, I wasn't a big star recruit. I was, like, probably like 1-2-star recruit. Like, I was, but at the same time, I was still developing my body. But mm-hmm. at the JUCO, you know, I was ended up by like a 4 or 5 star. And so, like, I had all these big time colleges just hitting me up, and it's like, wow. Like, and it just happened, like, really quick in a span of 2 years, like, just 2 years.
And you ended up committing to Western Kentucky, right? And I think, again, you know, people are hearing a top junior college prospect and you go play for the Hilltoppers, and you end up being quickly, like, for nerds like myself, you know, we scour the internet and we're watching film and we're looking for these unheralded prospects that aren't playing for, like, the high major D1 schools. But, you know, we're looking at numbers. I'm sure that you've heard this before. We're looking at numbers and percentages and rates and all that stuff. And for a while, man, your name has constantly been on the top of a lot of metrics. So,
crazy because, like, on social media, like, especially like TikTok. Okay. I would have never expected to see a video of me on TikTok. But from when I was at Western, I seen, like, constant videos of me on TikTok, like, just constant.
Well, I mean, let's. You know, we'll be real about it. I mean, you're 7'5". You have a crazy block percentage, like doing stuff that, like, not very many people in college do. I mean, as you're playing and you're kind of getting, like, social media famous, I mean, that's got to does that help you? Does that give you confidence, or is that just kind of like extracurricular stuff and you try not to really pay it no mind?
I say it's like a little bit of both. So, like,
okay,
like, seeing my hard work pay off, other people noticing that, it makes me want to work hard, but at the same time, though, I don't mostly focus on it. Like, I don't play just for attention or just to get followers and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, like what Kobe said, right? The job's not finished, right? Like, it's good to get that recognition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to get that recognition, but you still got a destination that you're trying to get to. So let's talk about the junior college to Western Kentucky jump. Was that a big adjustment for you?
It was somewhat of a big adjustment, mainly because, like, in junior college, you know, junior college, there are a whole lot of potential, like, high major D1 athletes. So, like, I played against some really big, strong dudes. I played with some really good dudes that could have played D1. And so, like, I tried to take what I learned from JUCO and to try to transfer over to a mid-major. And once I got the hang of it, it started to become so much easier. Because, like, the stuff that I learned at JUCO actually helped me adjust to stuff in a mid-major D1. And that's another thing that I'd be trying to tell high schoolers too. Like, when you go to JUCO, you perfect your craft. And then whenever you go to a bigger school, that's when, like, you can show them, like, what you can do and stuff like that.
And I think that the perception that it inhibits your potential and inhibits, like, your path to the NBA, I feel like that kind of bad bug has been squashed. I mean, like, the NBA is now filled with a bunch of players that have had success in the JUCO ranks. So it's good to see, like, basketball is so big, right? But there's people that find basketball, like, good basketball players everywhere now. And I think that actually helps, because we keep seeing, like, other leagues and stuff like that start up. and there's more incentives now. And I think it has to do with a lot of success that players are finding outside of that conventional like D1 route, right? So by the time you finish your second season with the Hilltoppers, you enter the transfer portal, right? Obviously, there were tons of schools that were interested in you, a lot of them in the SEC. And Ole Miss came calling, and you committed to play for Ole Miss. What was it about that university that you felt comfortable enough kind of committing to again?
All right, so, like, if we're being honest, like, at first, it wasn't about the university. It was about Coach Beard. Like, Coach Beard, like, okay. he set the tone for everything. So, like, during the whole recruiting process, you know, he was on top of it, calling me, checking up on me, seeing how I'm doing and this and that. And it got me to thinking, like, okay, like, this, like, because, like, he was talking about other stuff. Like, okay, so, like, all the colleges, you know, they all said the same stuff. But sure. Beard, he was saying the same stuff as them, but at the same time, he was saying other stuff. Like, he was telling me that he wants to play through me. He wants to show people that I'm more than just a post-up big and stuff like that, and that's what he did. And, like whenever I sat down and, like, talked to him, and we had a long discussion, and I understood that he genuinely means what he says. And then another thing was, so at the time, my old coach, he had just left Western, and so the new coach had came in. You know, he bring in like his new squad in and stuff like that. And it just so happened that one of his assistants used to coach under Coach Beard.
Okay.
So you know how colleges call around. When colleges want a player, you know that they'll call around asking how the player is. So, like, mm-hmm. In my head, I'm thinking, you know, I change the roles a little bit. You know, I'm going to ask a coach about another Uh-oh. Coach. Yeah. But, you know, so, like, everything I heard about Coach Beard, you know, it was all good things. Everyone just said, like, he's just, like, a really extremely hard coach. And I'm like, you know what? It's my last year. I can deal with it. And honestly, that's what I need.
And I think that there's a lot of coaches, and we see it in the NBA even a little bit too, like with like Coach Thibodeau right now in the playoffs. There's big to do about the amount of playing time that he gives players and stuff like that. He's very, you know, demonstrative on the sideline. There are even more college coaches that do that. And I feel like when we watch it on TV, it obviously doesn't look nice. You know what I mean? But being on the other side of it, of the player, it's got to be good having someone that you're accountable to and someone that they coach you hard. And, like, sometimes that might look bad, but there's obviously a lot of other benefits to that coaching style as well, right?
Right. Because, like, honestly, like, Coach Beard, like, people say he is a hard ass, which he is, but at the same time, though, like, he means well. It's mm-hmm. like he wants us to do better so we can win, so we can all succeed as a team, as a culture.
Yeah, I mean, he's got expectations because he sees the potential in you, right? And when you don't meet it, it's like, come on, man, like, let's get it together, right?
Exactly, just like that.
There you go. All right. So something that Ole Miss did this year in recruiting you, they obviously brought on another big man, right? In Cisse from Oklahoma State. There's a lot of colleges that are kind of employing like a two big man kind of rotation now, like a bullpen, so to speak. And it looked like it obviously worked out really well for you guys, man. What was it like though, going from Western Kentucky, obviously when you were in JUCO as well, like, you kind of go from being like the big focal point to now, like in Ole Miss, like you're still important. You're still playing a very pivotal role, mm-hmm. but you're kind of like tagging somebody else in, so to speak, throughout the year. Was that a big adjustment for you?
Not really. Mainly because like when I was at John A. Logan, I had to split time with Sidney Curry. So like he was also a big. So like I'm used to splitting time. Like even at Western, it may not seem like it, but I was splitting time with the other big. So like, I'm used to like just splitting up my time. So like honestly, so it wasn't that really big of an adjustment.
And we see it all the time in the NBA. There's not a lot of teams that just have one big man that are playing like 38, 42 minutes a night and stuff like that. So I think that that's good. And you probably kind of pick up, you know, something from playing with somebody else when like you're going in, you're feeling what the game is going on. Then you can sit down and watch somebody else kind of go through the same thing. Right.
Mm-hmm. And see that's the thing, like with me, like, I don't think starting is the big deal to me. Like, you know how other players be like, oh, I wish I wouldn't start this and that. Like me, starting not a big deal to me. Like if I start, then I start. If I don't, like me personally, I don't mind coming off the bench mainly because I can see what the other team like, I can see what the plays they got going. I can see what they're doing this and that before I go in. And once I go in, I can help adjust my team to that.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like scouting, right? But like, it's a quick scouting report before you even get into the game.
Real quick scouting report. And on top of that, like, it's right there in front of your eyes. So, like, you can pick it up really, really fast.
Exactly. And you're hearing the coach and all the other players communicate. That's awesome. So, Jamarion, during this season, let's talk about some cool accomplishments that you had during the year. You now have the old Ole Miss program record with 9 blocks in a game against Florida. I mean, I'm sure you remember each and every one of those blocks that night, right? That your team, you know, speaking to how good of a teammate you are, I'm sure you know this as well. Your team actually tied like a D1 record that night with 16 blocks in a conference game. Like, that's big time, right? You recorded sharing the load with Cisse. You recorded 75 blocks on the year, which led the entire SEC. And you were also only one of 95 players in NCAA history to surpass 300 career blocks. That's big time, man. Like, now that the season is over, because I'm sure if I ask you this question during the season, you're going to give me that same kind of mindset that you gave me earlier. It's like the job's not finished, right? But now that the season's over and you can reflect on that, what has your time at Ole Miss meant to you?
Like, honestly, like, it really meant a lot to me, especially, like, since I was only there for a couple months. Like, just those couple months, they mean so much to me. Like, it's not just the school. Like, it's the people around it. Like, everyone there was just, like, amazing. Everyone was so welcoming. And it's just, like, I got there, I instantly felt a part of the family.
There you go. So, I got it. Now, let's kind of break, okay? I'm going to get, like, draft nerd brain on you. So, like, you're going to enter this, like, draft community with me for a second. Like, you're not a player anymore right now, Jamarion. You're a draft nerd like me. Okay, so if you're evaluating players, I'm going to ask you a question. So it's a big philosophy for a lot of us that rebounding and shot blocking metrics translate, right? Do you agree with that? Do you think that, like, with what you do as a rebounder, what you do as a shot blocker, do you think that those skills are, I'm not going to say easy because I feel like that cheapens like the amount of work that players put in, but I feel like those are probably like the most translatable skills. And when you go and look through all players who have like played pre-NBA and have succeeded, those are two metrics that translate pretty well relative to other skills. Would you agree with that based on actually playing basketball?
Honestly, yeah, you know, I would, because like, especially rebounding, like, so like, difference is also like rebounding and blocks. Like, the only similarity is timing, like timing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a big thing. But so with blocks, it's a lot more difficult because you got to time it, and at the same time though, you got to try not to foul. You know what I mean? And with rebounds, you know, all you gotta do, you got to time it perfect. You got to time it perfectly and just go get it. So, like, honestly, like, those two are the biggest parts. Like, in my opinion, are the biggest parts of playing defense. Because, like, at the same time, it's also the hardest, too.
And you're the back line of defense, like, so it doesn't matter how good or how not as good of a perimeter player that you're playing around. Good offensive players are going to find their way to get to you, right? And you're the last line of defense. So I find that very interesting because we hear all the time about, like, the speed of the game changes at each level. Oh, it's just interesting.
It does,
but it's just interesting to me that because the speed of the game changes, that big men that have good rebounding instincts and shot blocking instincts, it seems like they're able to adapt much quicker to that speed of the game as opposed to other areas of basketball.
Well, you have to, like, if you don't adjust to the game, then you're not getting no playing time.
It's feast or famine at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, so Jamarion, I want to kind of transition now because you're transitioning yourself from being a historic basketball player, again, top 100 in blocks, you know, breaking that 300 block barrier is phenomenal, man. You're transitioning to focus on professional basketball. What are you working on now? Are you, obviously, it feels like you got the shot blocking and rebounding on block. Are there other skills that you're trying to kind of hone in, tap into, sharpen up, in order to prepare for the next chapter in your basketball life?
Yeah, I've been working on my touch a little bit more because, like, you know, I have a nice touch for someone on my side, but at the same time, though, I still want to, like, work on it so I can extend my range out to mid-ranges and hopefully 3 points.
There you go. And it seems like the emphasis on unicorns in basketball, like at the big man position, we champion the ones that work, right? But there is still, you can even see in the playoffs now, there's still such a high level of value and high level of importance for a big man that can still do the traditional big man things and shot blocking, rebounding, screen setting, another one, right? It's good that you're working into that three-point shot because there's obviously going to always be a place for that with a big man. But I don't know, man. Like, personally, I feel like the traditional big man things are still being proven in today's game to still have a high level of importance.
Oh, they definitely do. Cause if we're being honest, I'm thinking, like my whole life, I'm thinking, okay, I keep doing this big man work, but hopefully, in, like, the basic stuff, like, you know, the mic and drills and stuff like that, like, the basic stuff, I'm thinking, okay, you know, when I get to the next level, I'm not going to do it no more. I'm not going to do it no more. Nope, no matter what level I went to, I still have to do the basic big man stuff.
You got to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do, man, right? There you go. So, all right, Jermarian, I'm going to thank you for your time now, man, because I know that you're working on a lot. But I got one more question that I ask everybody that I interview before we close out. Let's say that an NBA team has got you sat down at a table. You know, they're liking the numbers they see. They like the film that they see. And they ask you, Jermarian, what can we expect to get out of you on a day-to-day basis if we were to bring you into our organization?
I tell them you get all my hard work, all my work ethic, and on top of that, I'll play my role.
There you go. And that's what NBA teams want, man. Like, what did Draymond say a couple months back, right? There's like two stars on every team and everybody else got a role to play, right? So there you go. But hey, Jermarian, man, I just want to thank you so much for your time. I know that you got a lot going on. For the people who want to kind of follow you along your journey, you got some socials that you can throw out for people to kind of see what's going on with you?
Yeah, my Instagram is _official.jmar_. And my Twitter handle is JAAMMAARION.
There you go. All right. Well, so for everybody tuning in and listening, I just want to thank you so much. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review. Continue to tune in to everything that we're doing with No Ceilings. We got a bunch of prospect interviews down the line. But again, Jermarian, man, thank you so much for your time. And we'll be keeping up with you, man. Don't be a stranger. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right.